three times Peter had denied Jesus, and now three times he's given the opportunity to affirm his love for the Lord.
This is Mission 66. I'm Rob Dempsey. Mission 66 originates from the ministry of Bible teacher and pastor Dr. Luis Seau and is produced and heard in multiple languages around the world in partnership with Transworld Radio. I want to encourage you to take advantage of a valuable resource. You can enhance your understanding of the Gospels by downloading our free study guide. This guide will deepen your experience with God's Word and complement our daily teachings from John Matthews and Esther Sisulu. To access your free study guide of the Gospels, simply visit mission66.org. Pick up this valuable resource and also support the ministry of Mission 66. Your gift helps sustain this program locally and globally. John Matthews is our teacher. His co-host, Esther Sisulu, gets us started today.
And we're wrapping up the book of John with chapter 21 today. And friend, if you think that your life has taken a bad turn because of something you did, or perhaps you made a mistake, and you feel that Jesus has cast you off, I'd like for you to consider the Apostle Peter. He had denied the Lord Jesus in front of people, just as predicted, and he probably felt lower than a snake in a ditch. But you know, the risen Jesus surprised him by coming alongside him and restoring him to good standing. And he can do the same for us when we have failed him. Well, our teacher, John Matthews, has prepared a special lesson with the theme, Celebrating the Recovery.
Esther, thank you and a very warm welcome to you wherever you are listening to Mission 66 today. It's so good to have your company. So then, we finally arrive, as Esther just said there, at the end of John's Gospel. Jesus has gone through his terrible ordeal, the night of agony in Gethsemane when he sweat these great drops of blood, the betrayal by Judas and then the denial by Peter. And it wasn't just Peter, of course, because his followers all ran like scared rabbits as Jesus was arrested, the trial, the flogging, the crucifixion, the burial in the stone tomb, and then the glorious resurrection. Up to this point, Jesus had only shown himself to the women and to a couple of his most trusted disciples. He hadn't yet shown himself to the other disciples, least of all Peter, who had denied him and was probably so completely downcast and discouraged that he may have thought that his entire future was cooked in the pot. But then along comes John chapter 21, starting at verse 1. After this, Jesus revealed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, and he revealed himself in this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. And Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, We'll go with you. And they went out and they got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. And Jesus said to them, Do you have any fish? And they answered him, No. He said to them, Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it. And now they were not able to haul the net in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, It is the Lord. Jesus, you see, had done this very thing before, hadn't he? When he first called the disciples to follow him, they'd been fishing all night and they'd caught nothing. And Jesus at that point said, Throw the net on the other side. And they could not bring in the entire catch because it was so great. And John recognized the master by his voice and by the result when they obeyed. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and he threw himself into the sea. The other disciple came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. And when they got out on land, they saw a charcoal fire in place with fish laid on it and bread. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish that you have just caught." So Simon Peter went aboard and hauled the net ashore full of large fish, 153 of them. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. And Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." Now none of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took the bread, and gave it to them, and so with the fish. This was now the third time that Jesus was revealed to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. They had seen him do this before, hadn't they, at the feeding of the 5,000 and again the feeding of the 4,000, breaking the bread and the fish and feeding everyone. The captain of our faith, the commander-in-chief of the Lord's army, here, serving his followers again. And when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." He said to him, "Feed my lambs." He said to him a second time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And he said to him, "Tend my sheep." And he said to him a third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, "Do you love me?" And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep." Three times Peter had denied Jesus at his trial, and now three times he's enabled to affirm his love for the Lord. And Jesus said in verse 18, "Truly I say to you, when you were young, you used to dress yourself and walk wherever you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will dress you and carry you where you do not want to go." This he said to show by what kind of death he was to glorify God. And after saying this, he said to him, "Follow me." And in this way, Jesus reaffirms his own love for this disciple who had been with him faithfully for 3 years and was not going to be rejected just because of a moment of weakness. The best way to restore someone to the Lord is by loving them. Love is the only thing that can recover a person. Unconditional love. Jesus doesn't scold Peter. No. Instead, he invites Peter to reaffirm his commitment. "Peter, do you really love me? Do you love me more than the rest of these guys? If it is really true, Peter." And Peter responds, doesn't he? He says, "Lord, you know all things. You know I do love you." Jesus then says, "Then put this love into practice. Help the people of God. Take care of my sheep." You know, as we celebrate our recoveries, Jesus sends us forward to help others the same way that we have been helped. Though we may have sinned, he faithfully pardons and restores us to being useful for him if we are willing to follow him. And then in verse 20, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them, the one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" And when Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, "If it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you?" you follow me. And so the saying spread abroad among the believers that this disciple, John, was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to John that he was not to die, but, if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? And so John signs off this way, concluding the 21 chapters of his gospel, saying, this is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things, and we know that his testimony is true. Now, there are also many other things that Jesus did. Were every one of them to be written, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would be written.
You're listening to Mission 66, and we're making our way through the final chapter in the Gospel of John. Well, I'm your host, Esther, and our teacher and companion in Bible study is John Matthews. Now, John, you know, the disciples, they seemed so discouraged, and it also seemed that they were going back to their old routines. I mean, why would this happen? You know, these are the people who saw all of Jesus' miracles. They saw the raising of the dead, walking on the water, and the wonderful things that he said, but they still were tempted to go back to their old life.
Well, Esther, you're right, and maybe we're a little different in that way. And I think if you can put yourselves and ourselves in their shoes, it must have been really difficult to get a grip on the enormity of what had just happened. They'd seen amazing things in their walk with Jesus. Jesus had then gone, so he wasn't with them as he'd been with them every step of the way. They'd heard this story of him being risen from the dead, but they were trying to make sense of that. So maybe they had lost some hope, and part of them felt that it might be the end. There wasn't the clarity on what should come next, little knowing that surely they'd be taking the gospel way beyond the area that they had lived their entire lives until this point. And they might have thought, well, we might as well go back to do something where we know exactly what we are doing, something familiar, something perhaps that was comforting and make a little money. And that's when they go back to fishing overnight. And who among us might not have thought the same way and done something similar?
Oh, yeah, John. I mean, it's so relatable. I can truly understand the reasonings of the disciples. But then, you know, Jesus showed himself to them on the shore, and he gave that all too familiar call. He says, throw the nets on the other side. And they haul in 153 different kinds of fish. I mean, that's a large catch. But I wonder, John, is there anything significant to the number 153?
Well, many have tried to assign special significance to this number. St. Jerome wrote that it was commonly thought that there were 153 known species of fish at this time. And if that were true, we can take it to signify that Jesus is sending his fishers of men out to all countries and nationalities without exception. But the number 153 is also the numerical total for the Hebrew words Anai Elohim, which means I am God. Now, we don't know for sure, but we do know that the offer of salvation is for all mankind, and that Jesus was indeed God.
Wow, John, I didn't even know that. It's true when they say you learn something new every day. Well, looking back at Jesus and the question that he asked Peter, in fact, he asked him three times if he loved him. So is there any special meaning to this dialogue over breakfast here?
Yes, Esther, there is. You know, three times Peter had denied Jesus, and now three times he's given this beautiful opportunity to affirm his love for Jesus. Now, Jesus is focusing here on the theme of love. And this whole question of loving and repeating it three times is something that has struck the attention of many people. And the Greeks, you know, they have three different words for the word love. The first is the word eros, which is based on human sexual love. Jesus wasn't using that word. Then there's the word philia, which literally means to love someone as a friend or brother. And Jesus wasn't using that word either. Jesus uses the word agape, which means the highest and most noble love. In other words, to love as God loves. And Jesus asks Peter, do you agape me? And Peter, perhaps rather shamefacedly, responds, yes, Lord, I philia you. Remember that love that means to love someone as a friend or brother? Slightly different slant. But for our purposes here, it is a minor point, because the Lord accepts what Peter says, and the exchange then results in Peter knowing that he was loved and restored by Jesus. And history shows that Peter made an indelible mark in the history of the church, and that he indeed had agape love for Jesus.
You know, I'm so curious as to why scripture continues to focus on Peter this much. Didn't the other disciples fail and make mistakes?
Yeah, that's true, Esther. The others failed, and indeed, you're right, in many ways. You know, when Jesus was arrested, it wasn't just Peter. All of the disciples melted in fear and simply, well, they did a runner. They made themselves scarce, let's be honest. But remember, Jesus referred to Peter as the rock on which I will build my church. And God was working in Peter to make him into the apostle who would preach the gospel to the Jews, mainly in Jerusalem and the surrounding areas. And so God had a specific plan for Peter. And we'll see this as we continue next time into the book of Acts, which is Luke's account of the history of the early church. And it is a scintillating account as well. So that is to come on Mission 66. So much to look forward to. But you know, it doesn't mean that the other disciples were any less important. Let's not reach that assumption, because that would be wrong. Each of them had their own ministries. And if you study the history of the church, well, the other disciples did their work well. And in fact, most of them ended up being martyred for their faith, which results in high honours in heaven. And if you could ask any of them whether it was worth it, they would shout a resounding yes, yes, yes.
And similarly, John, I think at the end of this life, we'll be shouting the very same thing. Now, looking at verse 19, Jesus hinted at the type of death that Peter would experience and suffer. While not completely spelling it out, you know, he did say that Peter would be led where he didn't want to go.
Yeah, that's right. And that Peter would have to stretch out his hands. And that is a reference to the fact that Peter would die being crucified just like Jesus. It was also meant as a test for Peter, to prepare him to see if he was truly up to it. And remember, Peter earlier had said that he was willing to go to prison and to die for Jesus. Well, one day he would have to do that. And so he was able, with the Spirit's help, to go through this final horrific hurdle of his life, just as his Saviour Jesus had done. And we should believe in Jesus with eyes wide open to the fact that the call to believe and to serve God as Christians may necessarily include suffering at the hands of those who refuse to believe in Jesus. You know, Esther, the truth is, this is not a social club that we're being asked to join. God is offering us eternal life in heaven one day through faith in his Son Jesus. In exchange, we are handing ourselves over to God to be used in whatever way he sees fit and in accordance with the gifts and the talents that he's given us. Now, our culture and human nature can't get their heads around this idea of such sacrifice. The pull of the flesh and the world's culture of you can achieve whatever you want if you put your mind to it. Well, that's plain wrong, and ultimately leads to no gain or peace or eternal inheritance. As followers of Jesus, You know, we need to root from our hearts the thoughts, the sinful thoughts that lead us to pursue a selfish and individualistic path through life. Our true goal must be a right relationship with God, with His Word, and with our neighbours. You know, we're called to work in God's harvest field on earth. It may well be hot, sweaty, dirty, and tough work. But payday for the true believer comes later, and boy, will it come.
Thanks for that, John. All right, well, let's look at what Jesus told Peter. I mean, he said that John would remain alive until Jesus' return in verse 22. I think you recall that. But is it really possible that John didn't die and that he's perhaps still living amongst us today?
Yeah, I think, Esther, initially that's what Peter understood it to mean, but it's not what Jesus said. Jesus only said, if I want him to remain alive until our return, what is that to you? Now, remember, John did live longer than Peter, because John lived long enough to go into exile, actually, on the Isle of Patmos, which is where he wrote the book of Revelation, which is the last book in the Bible. But that doesn't mean that Jesus was going to keep John alive until his second coming. The point the Lord is making here is that each of us is given a certain path to walk whilst we follow Jesus. Olympic runners run in a lane that is marked out for them, and so they're to concentrate in running as fast as they can in their own lane and not to worry about how each of the others are doing in their lanes. In fact, the coach will tell you, if you turn your head to see how the others are doing, you'll lose a step or lose your way. And Jesus is here saying, never mind about the others. You follow me.
Well, John, we have reached a milestone. I mean, not only have we finished the Gospel of John, but we finished the entire series of the Gospels. So, of course, as I usually ask with each episode, how do we summarize the events of this last chapter?
Yeah, hasn't it been invigorating and scintillating? What an honor, actually, Esther, to just go through the different accounts of the greatest story that mankind will and has ever known. It's been amazing. And our theme for this last chapter of John was celebrating a recovery. It was a wonderful and extraordinary recovery that Peter experienced. And the disciples, who were discouraged about their possible futures, were found here by Jesus, who miraculously provides them with not 153 small fish, but 153 large fish in their nets. And what a beautiful, lovely scene it is. The fire crackles, and Jesus is here cooking the breakfast on the beach. It must have smelled so good. And with a special heart for Peter, he reaches out to him in love and restores him to full and lasting fellowship. You see, the mark of forgiveness, the mark of recovery and restoration, is the ability to love. And this is what we observe and will observe in Peter's life. And the gospel ends here, the book ends, by saying many things could be said and written down about Jesus here, but all this information would not fit into all the books of the world. And everything that was written here was done so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, and that believing, you may have eternal life in His name. Peter received this restoration, and Jesus seeks to restore any of us who wander. Come back. In your mind, perhaps, sit on that beach with Jesus and say to Him three times if necessary, yes, Lord, you know that I love you.
This concludes our study in the four Gospels. And I trust that as you've studied alongside us, you've been blessed, you've been challenged, encouraged, and edified. Friend, join us next time as we go into the next book of the Bible, the book of Acts, a history of the early church when it was just getting started. I'm looking forward to joining you then, right here on Mission 66.